It's always good for Kay and me when we can come and be with you. Of course, always like to be near Mark and Stephanie and the family, the larger family here at Tanner. We appreciate you and appreciate the invitation to come and be with you tonight. I'm going to be talking about death. Not many smiles. You know, usually when we're talking about Christian topics, of course we think about life in Christ, everlasting life after this life on earth is over. But a part of that formula is death. So we're going to be looking at that from a few different angles tonight. But I'm basing my thoughts tonight on Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23, where our Lord said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And so I see in this one verse four stages in becoming a disciple of Jesus. And each of these four steps I have given the letter D. The first D is desire, if anyone desires to come after me. And the second one is denial, or self-denial. When he says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. And then the third one is death. That's the third D. When Jesus says, let him take up his cross daily. And then the fourth D is direction, and follow me. So I want to be focusing on that third stage, according to Luke 9:23. That third stage that's necessary if we are to be a disciple of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, in verses 5 through 7, Jesus shows us what true self-denial is. And that is by emptying himself of his equality with God and subjecting himself to the Father. I'm going to be reading these verses from the ESV, the English Standard Version. I usually use the New King James translation. But both the King James and the New King James, I believe, do not use the best translation here of these two verses. But listen to it from the ESV. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And I believe the way it translates these words, that he emptied himself and he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or to be held on to tenaciously, but he let it go. And so even in the King James and the New King James, you'll see that translation over in the center column, but the ESV went ahead and just put it in the text. But this talks about the subjection of Jesus. It's part of what he had to pay, the price that he had to pay in order for you and me to have eternal salvation. And Jesus' subjection took him all the way to death, death on the cross. And that's found there in the last verse of our reading in verse 8. So the way to true self-denial also leads us, you and me, to emptying ourselves and taking up our cross and dying on it. You see, cross is an instrument of death. And when we talk about take up your cross and follow me, take up your cross, you're talking about death in some form or fashion. It's involved. Well, it's our cross. And just like Jesus was obedient and subjected himself to the Father all the way to death, even death on a cross, so it is with you and me. Part of becoming a disciple is self-denial, and we deny self by killing self. And we'll be talking about that because we will be dying on a cross as well. So I want us to look at 3 points tonight. First of all, the cross of Christ, the cross of self, and then bearing my cross daily. First of all, let's consider the cross of Christ. We all know and realize that the death of Christ was part of God's plan to save man from the very beginning. We know from prophecy, in Isaiah chapter 53, the entire chapter is talking about the Messiah that is to come many hundreds of years in the future. And that is Jesus Christ. And it talks about, he prophesies about his stripes and his death for our sake. But Jesus died on a Roman cross. And I know you're familiar with some of this from past classes and sermons, but the Roman cross was nothing more than an instrument of death, and a criminal's death at that. That's what it represented. That's what it was. It was where they put criminals on public display so that the public could watch them die. And yet, that's the very death that God chose for Christ. Isn't that interesting? You ever find yourself questioning God? Why did God choose such a death, a criminal's death, as a part of the plan of salvation? We go to Matthew chapter 26, verses 39 and 42. You know the context here. It's the Garden of Gethsemane, night before Jesus will be crucified. And it picks up in verse 39. Jesus went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. The cup, meaning the cross that was coming the next day. Then drop down to verse 42. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And so this was the death. It was God's will that Jesus die, that he die on a Roman cross of crucifixion. Jesus predicted his death, and he predicted that it would be by crucifixion. In John chapter 12, verses 32 through 33, John 12, 32 through 33, Jesus said, And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. And then in Luke chapter 24, verses 6 through 7. Luke 24, 6 through 7. And the context here, as you know, is the tomb. The women have come to the tomb, and the tomb is empty. And the angel says, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" So Jesus knew all along that he was going to die for our sins as a sacrifice, and that that death would be by crucifixion. Well, Jesus made the cross central to his religion. Our Lord's death on the cross was an absolute requirement and a precondition of human redemption. In his death on the cross, his atoning blood was shed. We know that in Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28, that Jesus is gathered in the upper room with his apostles, observing the Passover the night before he would be crucified. And the scripture says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" And so our salvation depends on that blood that was shed on that Roman cross of crucifixion. It went on to become the central message of the gospel, the cross. The cross became the central message of the gospel. Listen to these two scriptures from 1 Corinthians. First of all, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." So the cross is right there central in the gospel, the good news of salvation. And then in 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 25, 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 25. Listen to Paul. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.' Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So crucifixion, the death of Christ, became central not only in the message of Jesus, but also in the gospel that he commanded be preached throughout the whole world. Well, if the cross was central to Jesus and if it was central to the gospel message itself, it stands to reason that it must be central for his followers also. And that's what we're talking about. One of the stages involved in being a disciple or a follower of Christ. Here in the text that we first looked at in Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So there he says that we must take up our cross. But a little later in chapter 14 of Luke and verse 27, it becomes bear. We are to bear our cross. Well, Jesus bore his cross, and we must bear our cross. Jesus bore his cross to death, and we must bear our cross to death. Death of self. And that brings us to the second point, the cross of self. We've looked at the cross of Christ. And now let's look at the cross of self. The way one denies himself is simply to put it to death, kill it. That's how we say no to self. We kill the old man of sin. It's described in verse 24 of our text, if anyone desires to save his life, he will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So here, putting to death self, self-denial is described as losing your life. We've got to lose our life. And that is what we did in becoming Christians. Anyone contemplating becoming a Christian, they have to die before they become a Christian. Die to self. So anyone who loses his life for Jesus' sake gives it in service and sacrifice to God by denying himself. And such a man will save his life by gaining eternal life. Jesus uses the principle of the seed to get this point across, the matter of putting self to death, dying to self, saying no to self, self-denial, uses the principle of the seed. You're familiar with this. Look with me to John chapter 12. Verses 24 through 26. John 12, 24 through 26. Here Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And so what we're talking about here is something that we have grown up with. We know the principle. I grew up on a farm. You have gardens. You have farms. You know the principle of the seed. You know the principle of germination. You take a seed of corn, and as seed goes, it's a pretty seed. It's got that hard shell, that cone shape, little white top and a yellow body, and it's pretty. As seed goes, it's a pretty seed. But you can take that seed of corn, and it has within it life. But if you just lay it on the surface and don't do anything else, if I just laid it on the end of that pew right there, I could come back 10 years later and it'll still be sitting there. Nothing will have happened. It just remains by itself alone, as Jesus says. But if I take that seed of corn and dig a little hole in the ground and put that seed down in the hole, cover it up, water it a little bit, let the sun come in, let the rain come, and what happens? If you were to dig up at this point and look at that seed, you would see that it's breaking down. It's deteriorating. But it's in that breaking down and deterioration that that little shoot comes out and it makes its way to the top of the ground and it breaks the soil and it comes on up. It puts out leaves. It puts out a head which has many hundreds of seed just like it. But that wouldn't have been possible if that original seed had not died. It gave its life to release that germ of life so that there could be life. And that's the principle that we're talking about. Death of the seed is necessary to produce fruit, that is germination. And Jesus committed to die as a means of procuring eternal salvation for man. And for all who would be saved, the process is the same. One must renounce himself, losing it, and taking up fully the identity of Christ to be saved. So our death to self is by death on a cross, just like Jesus. How is that so? Well, our cross is identified with Christ's cross in baptism. We all know that. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6, Romans 6, 3 through 6, the Apostle Paul writes, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin." Did you get that? We too have to die, and we have to die on a cross just like Jesus did. That's what he is saying here, that our old man of sin was crucified with him. And so that's our cross. So our old man of self-serving and sin was crucified with Jesus, putting to death the person who formerly lived only for self. So having denied self by repentance and by being crucified with Jesus in baptism, we arise to walk as a new man in Christ. Verses 4 in that text. Well, the Apostle Paul understood this very well. The idea of crucifying self. He talked about the crucifixion of Christ. He preached Christ and him crucified. But he also talked about his own crucifixion. And it's, I got 5 more minutes, right? Good. So it's also interesting in this light to consider 3 passages in the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians in which he talks about his own crucifixion. Notice with me. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Also in Galatians 5, verse 24, Galatians 5:24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And then finally, in chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 14, Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. And so this is the cross of self. So very quickly, the last point, bearing my cross daily. Luke is the one account in the Gospels which adds the word daily to this verse. If anyone desires to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And Luke adds the word daily. Daily. Well, we know that Jesus' death for us was once for all time. We read that in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. The emptying of self and being crucified with Christ is our sacrifice offered to him. We give our lives to God every day, a total sacrifice of self to do the will of Jesus. Whatever he wants with my life, then that must be what's done with it. What I want no longer matters, but I give myself to him, just as he gave himself for us. We are living sacrifices. Romans 12:1-2. There, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may do what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the benefits of Christ's death on the cross continues on after our baptism, as we know. And similarly, in a similar way, our emptying of self at baptism continues on day by day, our sacrifice to God. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, there John talks about if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from our sin. Well, daily cross-bearing is an everyday reality for Christians and followers of Christ. And the reality of that new life is that sin no longer reigns supreme in me. Yes, we still sin. We walk in the light the best that we can, but that's why Jesus came, because we're not perfect, and we will continue to sin. But the reality of that new life is that sin doesn't reign. He doesn't sit on the throne of my life anymore. He doesn't reign. Well, just in conclusion then to these thoughts, self-denial is accomplished by being crucified with Christ. And the emptying of ourselves in fully submitting to Christ daily is our living sacrifice to God. But if we as Christians, followers of Christ, fail to crucify self, there will still be a crucifixion. Let me close by reading Hebrews 6:4-6. Hebrews 6:4-6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew themselves again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God. There will still be a crucifixion. If we fail to crucify ourselves in self-denial, putting to death the old man of sin, there will still be a crucifixion related to us. It's us putting Christ back on the cross. If once Christians, we fall back into the world. And that's the end. Thank you for your kind attention.